great price. That's where we're going to get to. But before we do that, we're going to look at another parable that we'll use it to kind of talk about parables in general. And that parable is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. So if you turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 57, we'll start there this morning. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, there Jesus interacts with a person. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." I will follow you wherever you go. Now, I would like you to put yourself in Jesus' sandals just for a moment. And suppose you were starting a new organization. You were out trying to get followers. And somebody came up to you and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." What would you say to that person? Well, you might say things like, "Well, great to have you. Fall in behind. Fill out this paperwork. Welcome to my group." Well, in the next verse, Jesus speaks a parable to this person, which is really, I would say, the complete opposite of the way any normal person would respond to a person like that. In the next verse, in verse 58, Jesus replied and he spoke to that person in a parable and he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Not only did Jesus not welcome him into his group, what he said was he warned him about joining up. He spoke in a figurative way that warned him about potential problems that he might face if he became a follower. He used this figurative expression or story that uses real-world people, places, or events to teach a moral or spiritual truth. He spoke a parable. If we were going to restate what Jesus said without using figurative language, we might say something like this. If somebody came up to me and said, "I'll follow you wherever you go," and if I wanted to say what Jesus said without using figures of speech, I might say something like, "I don't offer you what you might be expecting. Positions in society, a salary, living quarters, or anything like that." That would be clear language, not figurative, saying what Jesus said. So the man who's basically been put off by Jesus, how did he respond? You can look, but it ain't there. Because we don't know how he responded. We're not told. It just goes right on into another interaction with somebody else. How would you respond if you were with Jesus that day? And you told Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said that to you. How would you respond if you were trying to join up any kind of group and was greeted with that type of response? Well, to tell you the truth, that is how we are greeted when we tell Jesus we want to follow him. The way that person was greeted is how we all are. This is to us also. If I say, "I want to follow Jesus," then I have to recognize then Jesus is not offering positions or houses or any of those kind of things, a salary. That's not what Jesus is offering at all. We have no promise of prestige or position in society. He only offers us an opportunity to become a servant. And a promise that whatever you give up will be paid many times over, but in different ways. You see, the words that Jesus spoke that day, and every day really, are profound. And by using parables, he said much more than if he would answer it in just a simple, plain language. He said more than what he said. And by studying the words of Jesus, we find out that the vein of gold never runs out. You see what I did? You see, I used to use figurative language to explain something about Jesus' teaching. You know, back in the day, back when they were out west and they found some gold down the side of a mountain, they would dig into that mountain and they would follow that vein of gold wherever it went, up, down, sideways, it didn't matter. They followed it. But you know, they're still out there digging in that mountain, and you know why? It ran out. That vein of gold ran out. And what I'm saying is, if you study the words of Jesus, you can continue to learn and find nuggets as you study, no matter how long you study. I brought a book with me this morning that is, the title of it is Through Peasant Eyes by Kenneth Bailey. It's about parables. It is about his study of parables and what he has learned. And I want to read the introduction, or part of the introduction, this morning. This is a person who has spent his life studying Jesus' teaching in parables. And he says, "The songwriter composes a song and it's finished. The sculptor chisels at his marble and one day the statue is completed. But the textual interpreter," which is what he calls himself a textual interpreter, "task is never finished. He can only pause to record somewhat fearfully his findings at a central point in time, at a certain point in time, with the prayer that they will be of some use to others and that he has been faithful with what thus far has been given to him. This is very much our feelings as we bring the study of parables to a close. Wiser and more learned scholars have trod the same ground before us, and others will follow. The parables of Jesus do not unlock all of their secrets to anyone. We can only invite the reader to join us along the path we have been privileged to walk for 25 years with the hope that the reader will find the direction of the journey meaningful." This man has spent 25 years studying parables, and he says he's not done. There is still more to learn. Well, I don't know about you, but that is both humbling and exciting at the same time. And so today, as we study these parables, I want you to consider that what I have to say is only a portion of what this parable may teach you or may teach someone else. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, looking at this parable that is called the Pearl of Great Price. But before we read the Pearl of Great Price parable, let's read the one right before that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. There's two parables right here together, similar meanings but different. And so let's read the first one, verse 44 first. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about how valuable it is. And he illustrates its value by saying a man was just digging in a field. And he found a treasure, and that treasure was so valuable that he put it back in the ground. And he went and got legal rights to that property. He sold all he had and gave legal rights to that property so he could have it because it was worth all that he had. He said the kingdom of heaven is that way. And the parable we're going to focus on today is in verse 45 and 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and he bought it." Well, it's very similar to the one about the treasure in the field, but it is different. Here, in this case, we have a merchant whose profession, apparently, was to go and find valuable things and buy them and resell them. That's what merchants do, right? So in this case, a merchant, he's seeking out beautiful pearls, and he finds one of greater value than he had ever seen before. And because that pearl that he found was worth his whole livelihood, he went and sold everything he had and was able to buy that pearl. But you know the meaning of this parable, the one we just read, is not given to us. And so one word of caution, I want to, even though these are very simple parables and I don't think we're going to mislead anyone on what they mean, is when the meaning of the parable is not given to you, you have to be careful. You have to be cautious because you may think a parable means something that it may not. Because we have many examples of parables when we are given the meaning. If we weren't given the meaning, we'd be lost. So these parables like this, and we don't give them meaning. I'm not saying that we're going to do anything outrageous or make up anything the Bible doesn't teach. But I'm just saying in general, when you're studying parables, if the meaning is not given, to be careful. Well, the meaning of this parable, let's look at it. This person is opposite from the first person. The first person that we read about, he just found the treasure in the field by accident. He wasn't looking for it. He just found it. In this case, in this parable, the person is on a mission to find what is of great value. He believes, the merchant, there are things out in the world for him to find that are valuable or he wouldn't be out there looking. And he's searching for that. And when he finds something worth more valuable than he could imagine, he's willing to risk his whole livelihood to be able to obtain it, to have it. You know, this parable then, it seems, describes how some people react to the kingdom of heaven. Different people react in different ways. When they know there must be something out there, like this guy, he knew something was out there of value and he was looking for it. He was searching for it. And I want to look at a couple of examples of people in the Bible that I would say fit into this category. And let's start in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 gives us a story of someone who was, I would say, searching for the truth. He was searching for, he was trying to serve God. He was doing what he thought he was supposed to. And that is the Ethiopian treasurer. Some of your Bibles may refer to him as the Ethiopian eunuch. In chapter 8, verse 26, here we have a story about this person who traveled from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. Now, how long did that journey take? He says he was in a chariot. So it would have taken, conservatively, weeks. It may have even taken a month. A long time for him to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. All right. He was making that trip to worship God. And on his return trip, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. This person, I think we could have to say, he was spiritually searching, spiritually trying to serve God, similar to maybe this merchant in this parable. Somebody is searching. He knows there's something of value, and he is searching for it. Well, Philip teaches him. Philip is sent to teach him. Philip teaches him, and then down in verse 36, it says that they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water, wash it, and I'll be baptized." Philip obviously had taught him about the kingdom, about baptism, about the saving grace found in Jesus, and the eunuch recognized the value of that information and immediately wanted to act on it. Similar to the merchant looking for the pearl. So I would say the Ethiopian eunuch is somebody that maybe this parable describes. Let's look at another example over in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we have the story of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. He was someone who was seeking God. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Send now men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." So, Cornelius, what he had done, God recognized it, and he had given him information. Go get Peter. Send for Peter. and Peter will tell you what to do. Well, when Peter got there and gave them the information that they were seeking, in verse 42, it tells us, 42 and 43, he commanded us, this is to Peter talking, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And the story goes on to tell us that Cornelius and his family recognized the value of the information he was given by Peter, and they acted on it by being baptized. Both of these remind us that there are people in the world who are seeking to serve God. They're seeking to find what is valuable. They want to have a purpose in life and some meaning for living, and that they know there must be something, and they're searching for it. And really, I'm telling you, we may be that person who comes in touch with that person who's looking, and it's up to us to help them find the saving grace found in Jesus Christ, like the people that we just read about, the Ethiopian and Cornelius. We need to be lookout for these people, doing what we can to help them. These examples and the parable we read all teach us about people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And they're searching and they're looking. And it's up to us to help them find what they're looking for and help them to understand about the kingdom and its value, similar to the merchant when he saw the pearl of great price. Well, what can we do? What can we do to search and define the pearl of great price? Well, let's look at these people again. In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch, the Ethiopian, what was he doing? He was serving God as best he could. He had gone from his home up to Jerusalem to worship services. And he was there, and on his way home, he was reading the Scriptures. So we can follow his example. We can be a student of the Scriptures. We can study the Scriptures and apply those things. We can try to understand, and when we don't understand, we can get help, as he did. He got help from Peter. He got help from Philip. Sorry. Philip is the one who helped him. Well, we need to be open to what other people have to offer as far as the meaning of the Scriptures. We need to listen as well as teach. One thing is just kind of an off topic, but I want to mention about the Ethiopian. Is after that long journey he made from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, what do you think could have happened that would have caused him not to worship God? Do you think there would be any distractions? Maybe the crowd was too big. Maybe the crowd was too small. Maybe he didn't have a good place to see what was going on. Maybe hundreds of things could have happened. Do you think anything could have happened that would have caused him to say, "Oh, my worship is just ruined. I traveled all this way and I just can't worship God"? I don't believe it. I don't believe anything would have kept him from worshiping God, because that is what he went to do. That was his focus. What is it that sometimes may keep us from worshiping like we're supposed to? Is there anything that can keep us from worshiping God? You know, worship is between me and God. I don't go through any of you to worship God. You don't go through me. My worship and your worship is directly to God. We shouldn't ever let anything interfere with our worship to God. And if you're letting something interfere with your worship to God, I would say first just repent and refocus on what your mission is as a Christian, is to worship God. Don't let anything distract us, because our worship is between us and God. Well, back on subject now. What else can we do to search for this pearl of great price? Well, how about the people over that's described in Acts chapter 17? The people described in Acts 17 verse 10 are referred to as the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 tells us, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Well, that's one way we can seek the kingdom of God, is we can study the scriptures. We can see if what people teach us are true. We can be diligent in our efforts. We can apply ourselves to the study. And then we can let the scriptures direct us and guide us. That's really what we need to be doing to seek. We need to demonstrate that searching by searching the scriptures as they did. Well, understand that all of us at one point in time have misunderstood the scriptures. Cornelius did. The Ethiopian didn't have all the information he needed, and we may find ourselves in that same situation someday. We may find other people in that situation. And we need to be like the merchant who was looking for the pearl of great price and to seek and help those who need our help. But if we seek like the merchant did, and we have the desire like the eunuch did, then we can also come to know Jesus in the proper way as they did. We can put our trust in God's providence to lead us into the truth, and so we can also recognize the value of that pearl of great price, which is the kingdom. Well, some might ask, well, is the pearl of great price, is it really worth it? Did he really make a fair trade when he went and sold all that he had to buy the pearl of great price? Well, what would be wonderful is if we had some testimony from those who have passed on. And maybe could give us some firsthand experience about what awaits us. But we don't have that. But we do have the truth of the Bible, who tells us in great detail that anything we give up, or everything that we give up, will be worth the promises of heaven. Eternal existence with the Creator of the universe awaits us. And the blessings of the kingdom are not just limited to the hereafter. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 10. And it gives us some comfort for this life, which is the one we're living now. And it's hard for us to imagine the next. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." Verse 29, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Jesus tells us there's a lot we may have to give up to be his servant. But he promises us more than we could ever give up. And in the eternity, we are promised what we can't even imagine: eternal peace and happiness, serving God forever in his presence. If your search for the kingdom has brought you here today and you haven't found it, we would love to talk to you in detail about the kingdom of God and its value. If you're a member and you need the prayers of support of the congregation at this time, we invite you also to come forward as we stand and sing.